What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, the show where we talk about all things basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod. And joining me is a man who you know as Leo, but every Monday I call him 3-0. Leo, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well today. You know, new platform, same squad. Let's get it.
We're very, very excited because we're on StreamYard and, you know, bear with us. This will be a learning curve, but we'll get there. We'll get there. And we're very, very excited to use this. But also joining us, he has a photo with a young Anthony Davis when he was at Wildcat. Can you believe that? Blake, how are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Yeah, I saw that photo as soon as I woke up this morning. Brightness of joy, AD, you know, definitely a good flashback when he was at the University of Kentucky. But no, I'm doing great. I echo Lee. I love this new platform we're doing here, the graphics. I'm excited to see how it goes.
We got our logo in one corner. We got our names over here that are not on Zoom. We can do like cool things like this. Oh, baby, we're upgrading over here. There we go. We're shooting our shot. All right, fellas. Well, let's talk about our early Christmas gift as NBA fans. And that is, look at that, the in-season tournament. Let's go. Well, hey, what a great transition,
let's
guys.
Let's go.
So today, actually, as we record on December 4th, the knockout round of the in-season tournament has already started. And we have the Celtics that are right now beating the Indiana Pacers. We're not going to spoil the game if it's over before we end this recording. But we also got the Pelicans against the Kings. And then on the other side of the bracket, I guess on the West, we have Lakers against Phoenix tomorrow, December 5th. And then on the East, we have Bucks versus Knicks. But guys, I want to know, before it's all said and done, on your brackets, which teams do you have advancing? And then who you got winning it all in Las Vegas. So, Blake, why don't we start with you?
I have to say, I'm so excited now that we're in the bracket format for this in-season tournament. I know we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, just the excitement around it as a whole, just fans' feelings as well, too, what some players' have thoughts have been. So, really does have that kind of playoff vibe kind of coming to it as well, too. Even Tyrese Halliburton kind of talking about it recently on another podcast as well. But, Rod, I have here, Rod and Leo, when I look at my brackets, what it's going to be moving forward, looking at tonight's games that are going on at the moment as well, too, I have the Celtics over the Pacers. So I think the Celtics are going to pull this one out as well, too. Again, one of my favorite teams right now in the NBA in terms of how they're playing. The second game, I do have the Sacramento Kings prevailing over the New Orleans Pelicans. I think DeFox, Sabonis, I think they're going to have both great games tonight as well, too. I think they're going to prevail on that end. Tomorrow, which I'm sure for you, Rod, is the one that you're highly anticipating.
Big day, the number one seed,
the Los Angeles Lakers, who are going to be defeated by the Phoenix Suns tomorrow. It is going to happen. The Phoenix Suns, I see, prevailing, taking out the number one seed in the West, the Los Angeles Lakers. I think KD going to overmatch them within that as well, too. The Lakers, I think it will be a close game within that as well, too. An exciting one, but I do see the Suns pulling it out. And then finally, I do see kind of the second game there. I have actually the Bucks over the Knicks as well, too. So I think Milwaukee will pull that out and move on. And then after that, I have between the Suns, Kings. I have the Suns prevailing going to the championship game on Saturday. And then I have the Celtics over the Bucks as well, too. So my final game there, the Boston Celtics and the Phoenix Suns, and my champion, who I will see is going to win the first ever in-season tournament NBA history and set a precedent is the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are going to prevail. They're going to become the champions. Jason Tatum going to have 35 points. Book it, 35 in the bag in the championship game, and the Celtics are going to be your champions.
Wow. It's, I feel like it's those picks are not controversial at all. I feel like there are very safe picks, Blake. You know, Celtics winning it all. Everybody's talking about the Celtics winning it all. Chuck guaranteeing that the Celtics are going to win the championships this year. Well, I'm here to tell you guys that I'm about to bust those brackets. I actually have Tyrese Halliburton single-handedly defeating the Celtics tonight. And the game is going on live right now.
Yeah, so we'll see if the Oracle is still around.
Yeah, I know it's a bit of a controversial take, but 2023 has been a weird year, you know? It's been a weird year, and the Pacers are looking nice. One of the biggest like offensive ratings like we've ever seen. Tyrese Haliburton is playing like a Steve Nash, but like this era. So like, let's give it to the Pacers right now. I'm going with the Pacers tonight over the Celtics. I'm feeling the Pacers. And then over on the other side for the other game tonight, I love my Beam team, but I'm really enjoying what Zion's doing out there with BI. Oh. And I just don't know if anybody's going to be able to stop Zion tonight. So really close game, but I think I got the Pelicans coming out of that. Ooh, and okay. Yeah, we'll move on over to tomorrow's games. And, you know, the one that everybody's got their eyes on, the LeBron versus the KD. And I'm going to have to agree with you on this one. I think the Phoenix Suns are going to come out of that one, unfortunately, Rod. I'm sorry. And yeah, Julius Randle has been playing out of his mind lately. The New York Knicks are playing really good basketball, but you cannot count out Dame time. And Giannis is going to be there. So I've got the Bucks coming out of that one. And then that leaves me with a Bucks versus Pacers semifinal. And I think the Bucks got that. And then on the other side, I've got the Suns and the Pels. And I think I got the Pelicans coming out of that. Okay. I'm liking this wave of, you know, changing of the old guard and in with the new. You know, we're getting to the end of the year here, and I'm feeling like it's the NBA needs a revamp, you know? So ultimately, though, I do have the Bucks coming up on top. So that's what I got, boys.
The Pelicans in the final. Look at that, Leo.
Yeah. I mean, the Oracle is trying to show up here. We'll see. If that happens, man, I don't know.
You heard it here first. StreamYard.
If that happens, remember our statue conversation debate last year? Give Leo a statue if this happens.
If the Pelicans make it to the finals, Leo deserves one outside the Smoothie King. I don't care what you call it these days, that arena. But Leo would need one there.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, the beauty of having this new platform is that you can add those banners, those beautiful banners that we just saw. I have some breaking news. This is Justin, like literally Justin.
Uh-oh.
Blake and Leo are no longer working on Dropping Dimes.
What is this?
Guys, I'm going to address it. I'm going to address the elephant in the room. You're seeing it. There is no way in hell that LeBron James is not taking that trip to Vegas. Mm. Guys, the Phoenix Suns were in the same group as the Los Angeles Lakers. And who were the only team that were able to beat the Suns? The Lakers. And that's going to happen tomorrow as well. I don't care who they got in the lineup. The Lakers are moving on and they're going to go to Vegas, period. You know, Chuck says guarantee. I say take my prediction to the bank and then cash it in Vegas. Because, baby, we're going gambling in Vegas with that money.
Wow. Okay, Rod.
I'm feeling myself.
About today's games goes right into his Lakers. I don't know. Just I don't know.
Through those first two, went straight into
so
it.
So I'll get into it. So on tonight's game, I mean, I don't know how I'm not looking at the scoreboard right now, but I saw at least until the halftime, the Pacers were giving the Celtics a run for their money, but you know what? I think the Celtics got this one. So good for the Pacers, but I'm going to go with the Celtics there. Now, Kings versus Pelicans, tough one. Young teams, they both like to run. I think the Pelicans are arguably more aggressive than the Kings. So even though I would love to pick the Pelicans, I still think we're going to light up the Beam. The Kings are a bit more seasoned. I don't know. It's going to take a lot from the Pelicans, but, you know, I'm wearing purple. So shout out to my brothers in purple, the Kings. They're going to move on for now. And then on the other side, no surprises on the other game tomorrow, Knicks versus Bucks. If anything, I know last week we talked about the Bucks and we were a little bit concerned about them, but they have really good defense. They're still the best clutch team in the NBA. They have the best defense in the fourth quarter. So I'm going to go with the Bucks. I think that's a safe bet. So on the East, I'm going, you know, conservative. Celtics and Bucks, then Lakers and Kings. Now, who's coming out of those? Great question, guys. I'm glad that you asked. I'm going to go with a classic match from the 80s. Come on, guys. We're not going to get this final in the regular season. So this is the closest that we're going to get to a Lakers-Celtics finals, and it's going to happen. Lakers versus Celtics are moving, and they're playing in Las Vegas in the inaugural in-season tournament. And then the Lakers, just like in Showtime, they're going to win it all. Period.
Ooh, okay.
All right. All right. Okay. We'll see.
I can give you a chips voucher that you get at the slot machines. I'll give it in advance, and you can cash it in already, boys.
Yeah, I've got Buddy Hield hitting the three for the win tonight. So I'm sorry.
That's not- there we go.
Yeah, happens, I'm gonna be super impressed.
Yeah. I can feel it in the air. You know, it's an indie season.
There we go.
I'm surprised a little bit that neither of you have the Lakers moving on, to be honest.
So I will say, it's not that I don't think that they had the potential to certainly do that. I mean, obviously, like you said, they're the number one seed. You know, they are, you know, they have that great potential that I think could make it to the finals. I just don't see them overcoming the Phoenix Suns throughout that, too. I think the Suns are playing a bit better right now, you know, lately than the Los Angeles Lakers from that as well, too. You are right. The Lakers did prevail when it comes to the group within that as well, too. But I just really see kind of KD coming up clutch in that game tomorrow as well, too. I think it will be close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means or you know, a 10-point victory. I think it is going to be a close game. I mean, I have to say, it'd be an amazing story to see a Lakers-Celtics final. I have to admit, you've got to imagine the NBA.
We all want it. We all want
everybody's going to really pump that up, too, in terms of if that does come to fruition as well, too, within. It'd be super exciting. But, yeah, I see Phoenix really pulling out that game.
If that doesn't happen, if there's not a Lakers – Celtics finals. This was all rigged, and I don't ever want to see this thing again.
I feel like if there is a Lakers Celtics finals, then it is rigged. You know?
No. It's the other way, man. It's the other way.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm looking. Come on now.
I have to say too, like, just look at some teams, like, it's like a pretty exciting bracket when you kind of look at just like the teams that are there. I mean, obviously these teams are playing really pretty good basketball right now in terms of just the regular season standings as well too, but you got a kind of a mixture of teams that like you expect to be quote-unquote title contenders in the NBA this season or to really kind of make a deep run in the playoffs. But then you have some exciting teams like Leo was talking about. You know, the Pacers are a fun team to watch. You know, Haliburton just so amazing, just like seeing him. I mean, highlight reel every night. I mean, just the assist turnover ratio he has and just the games he's been putting up as well, too. The Knicks that are kind of obviously an exciting team with Brunson and Randle as well, too. The Pelicans, like, it's kind of a cool mix when you kind of see like the quote unquote underdogs. I'm not saying they're underdogs, like they're not teams that can't win by any means, but just a good mixture to kind of topple, you know, hopefully some of those quote unquote heavyweights of the Bucks or, you know, the Pacers or the Celtics, excuse me, from that end.
Yeah, I just think that like on like a, I guess like on a deeper note that, you know, I think this is the year where we're starting to see a decline in a lot of like teams we expect to be right up there. You know, the Warriors being one of those teams where I think that dynasty is over. And it's simply because the superstars of the yesterdays are just getting older. And so it's really fun to see teams like Indiana Pacers really using their youth to their advantage by running an offense with a elite point guard, just doing this run and gun style and opening up the whole court and like having everybody be able to shoot the three. It's just really neat to see that, you know, the coaches are making adjustments and it's working, because who would have thought Indiana was going to be in the stage right now, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And overall, I think, you know, and truly, I was joking when I said that I didn't want to see it. The in-season tournament turned out to be a great product, at least in this, you know, launching phase.
Yeah.
Because it gave these early games, you know, weight and a reason for all of us that are, you know, longtime fans of the NBA, but also new fans to, you know, care a little bit more for the beginning of the season. We all know also that, you know, most of the contenders and teams start taking things seriously after the All-Star break or after the New Year's break. So this was a really nice way to, you know, for the players, for us as fans, for everyone to sort of take it seriously a little bit more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like, you know, we were kind of all stuck in watching the NBA season the same way that we usually do, right?
Yeah.
You get really excited about the start of the season. You follow for 2, 3, 4 weeks, and then there's a bit of a lull because the holidays are around and other things are going on. Then you got your Christmas games. Great. But then what's after that? You're going to the All-Star. Okay. And then after that, that's when people really start paying attention. Whereas I feel like I've been paying attention this whole time just because of the introduction of this. And this will go right into kind of the break, you know, the Christmas. Yeah, it's great. The NBA did a really good thing here.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing with me is, and I keep going back and forth on the tournament, is like the time frame on it. Like, I think I know where I settle, where my kind of feelings go with it. But like you said, Leo, it's been great that just the excitement early on in the NBA season, you have so many things kind of to look forward to early with the in-season tournament. And then you have, like you said, the Christmas games, the All-Star break. But sometimes I also wonder, like, from the NBA's perspective, how are they going to ensure that this excitement for the tournament and talking about it will continue on going forward as well, too, just because you have so much basketball left after this ends this Saturday. You know, you have, you know, essentially 6 months of basketball in the season left, including the playoffs. Like, you know, how you're going to keep that excitement going into next season, right? And again, you have All-Star game and things like that, but you look at some other, again, not trying to compare sports, but when you kind of look at soccer, you know, football, for example, that has a lot of these kind of similar cups or tournaments, they go all the way through typically the month of, you know, they start in September and usually the final is in the month of April or May. Now, that may not correspond well from an NBA season perspective, but, like, you know, how do you keep building that excitement from a longevity standpoint? I think it's good. You know, I like, maybe right now, I think I'm on the essence. It's good to end it where it is, but just making sure that it's still going to be talked about. Cause, like, is this going to be off our minds for 9 months, right? Like, next October comes around. Oh, the in-season tournament's back. You know, like, how do you keep that excitement building?
It did feel like the group stage was really short, at least in my opinion. But again, I think we, like you mentioned, like, we also happen to watch a little bit of soccer. I think at this point you watch a lot more soccer than I do, to be honest. Where the cup, you know, happens, you know, throughout the season as well. So this one felt really short, but it was sort of like nice and sweet as a pilot. So I'll give him that. But yeah, I think you're right, you know, because then after this, yeah, it's Leo mentioned it, right? It's the Christmas games. Then you were basically then All-Star, and then it's playoff race and in-season tournament. So yeah, I don't know if there's space for everything, to be honest, because maybe pushing it more into late December, potentially maybe January. But then after that, yeah, I don't think there's enough space for, you know, the playoff race, for the in-season tournament race, and then the in-season tournament.
Well, I mean, they are just launching it this year, you know, for the first time. And so they're going to work out a lot of kinks. And yeah. I think you're right, Blake. Like, you know, are we going to be talking about the in-season tournament after this Saturday? Who knows? But I will say it, you know, if they did stretch it out longer, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, because these are just regular season games, right? Like, you know, there is this like air of excitement about it, but it's not like they're rescheduling too many things outside of going to Vegas for, you know, this like mini final. Outside of their 82 season, you know, 82 game regular season game. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, we're, you know, NBA, hire us. We got it. You know, like, we'll figure out the whole plan for you to keep every person that watches the NBA excited and engaged.
Before we move on, I have one last final question for you guys. Whatever team wins the in-season tournament, should they also raise a banner afterwards?
Oh,
I think so. You know, I think if the NBA is really trying to make a splash with something like this, from fan engagement, from excitement around two of the season, or just basketball as a whole, I think they have to take it that serious, right? And again, not trying to compare sports all the time, but when you look at other professions of sports that have cups, tournaments, they have trophies. They have, you know, sometimes banners that are raised. I think you know, to legitimize the in-season tournament itself, you should celebrate that, right? Like moving forward, if this is something they're trying to do every single year, I think you should. Otherwise, it's just, yeah, we get, you know, extra 500 grand in the back. Don't get me wrong, it's a lot of money. But, you know, just in a sense, like you have to legitimize this somehow. And I think to put that on there, you have to.
But, sorry, Leo, go ahead. What do you think?
No,
does it, you know, I'm not for it yet because just for being a traditionalist. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but it would be like those teams that hang, you know, their division banners, right? They don't have the same weight in my eyes. So, yeah, the trophy was unveiled today. It's a nice looking trophy. I would say, yeah, you know, display it to your fans, whatever. But I don't know if a banner feels right yet. I would say, you know, maybe put it somewhere inside the arena. Or I know the Lakers were trying to do like their stars around for their championships. Maybe change the color of it. I don't know. Make it special, yes, but maybe not a banner yet.
Yeah. I feel like there should be more than just like monetary gains and a really nice trophy for winning this in-season tournament. And I almost feel like coming into like the second half of the season, maybe like the bottom eight teams of like each conference should be playing in another in-season tournament to try and get like a draft pick or something, you know, later down the line. So then like you keep audience like watching also the kind of quote unquote bad teams of the NBA, just so there's a bit of excitement around it because everybody is really tuned in to the in-season tournament. So, you know, just a way to get people thinking about the in-season tournament still, but also like keeping engaged with all 30 teams in the NBA would be huge because, you know, as well as I do that, like, most people are paying attention to the top heavy teams on either side of the conference. So yeah, a bit more exposure would be nice for some of these smaller market teams, but you know, that's just me spitballing here.
All right, fellas. Well, we'll find out, you know, after, well, basically on Wednesday, we'll know who the semifinalists are and then who's going to play in Vegas on December 9th. And I'm sure that, you know, we'll have yet another round of predictions for when the Lakers are going to actually race the title or the Lakers.
Pacers Bucks.
We'll see. All right, fellas, very quickly, this happened over, actually somehow over the weekend, but it seems like the sneaker wars are still a thing. And I don't know if anyone listening or eventually watching this, man, I can say that now and it makes sense that people are going to watch this. Pay attention to the headlines, but Anthony Edwards debuted, or there was an event where he debuted his new shoes with Adidas, the AE ones, not the most creative name, but hey, who am I to judge? And then he said that he would love to see Kevin Durant playing one day in one of these, right? To which Kevin Durant then on Twitter said, and I quote, and I don't know how YouTube is going to feel eventually about this, but I'm going to self-bleep. Won't ever see me put a big toe in them MFers. So that was already, you know, I mean, it's also KD, so you kind of take it, not with a grain of salt, but you go like, that's KD being KD, and, you know, he's always been sort of on Nike's side. But then, that's not the end, guys. I'm sure that you saw this. The official account for Adidas replied saying, "You dusty bottle retire soon anyway." With, and I'm not paraphrasing. It's you, the letter U, dusty Bauta, retire soon anyway.
Wow.
And then they immediately deleted that. I don't know. I actually don't know how long it stayed there or live on X, formerly known as Twitter. But then, you know, everyone saw it. Everyone took screenshots. The tweet was bookmarked.
Mm-hmm.
They deleted it. And then the same account said, "Meant to send that from the burner account, dot, dot, dot." So kind of a two birds in one. So
yeah,
guys, very quick thoughts on, you know, oh, there was also, sorry, the Adidas CEO went to this conference where Adidas got a trophy for best sneaker of the year for the Sambas, which if you ask me, it's like Converse getting a shoe or a trophy for the Converse, for the Chuck Taylors. It's like, there's nothing new about them. Anyways, that's my opinion. But they also said, Nike, better watch out. We have a lot on the pipeline. Now, guys, are the sneaker wars still a thing? Am I making a big deal out of this? What do you think?
I think they are a thing, honestly. And I think it's because Nike is kind of slacking these days and not signing the right people.
Okay.
You know, a lot of rumors out there saying, you know, Anthony Edwards is going to be the next MJ here. And I kind of believe it. He's got the skill set. He's got the personality. He's got the swag. The shoes look nice. They're a little futuristic for me personally, but, you know, I could see the young kids liking them, you know, saying like, I'm done with Nikes and moving on to the new wave of maybe Adidas shoes, you know, like, and yeah, he's just so marketable. And I think that's all it is here, right? It's not so much a battle of Nike versus Adidas, but really just who is the next one up. And it's so clear to me that it's Anthony Edwards. So that's all I'm taking out of that.
I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead, Blake.
Let's say, I think it's definitely a thing, right? You know, I mean, and this is exciting. You know, I feel like we're all three sneakerheads. You know, we definitely message in the WhatsApp group, sending over some great new kicks that come out, our thoughts on them as well too. So this just really kind of helps continue that along, because like as true, you know, basketball fans, as true, you know, sneakerhead fans, like this is something you love, that back and forth, that banter. And as companies too, right? Like it kind of is a, in my opinion, a good publicity and things for them to kind of be a part of in some sense, you know, as well too, obviously, as long as it's done appropriately. But like, you know, I think, you know, I don't personally obviously know KD and Ant's, you know, relationship. I like to think there's some fun within KD's tweet to that too. I'm sure, you know.
I thought so too, because Anna asked me about that and I was like, I think that was tongue in cheek, honestly.
Yeah, I think Ant was like, you know, probably laughing. I think, you know, it's one of those like you never know what the person's real thing is unless you're there in person, right? To see their facial expression and how they interpret it, right? So I think there was, you know, some good tongue in cheek in that. I mean, shout out to whoever's at Adidas to kind of, you know, kind of do that fun kind of quip back and forth too on the tweets. I mean, is Adidas?
I don't know.
Are they the next Wendy's of X, you know, with their fun things that they do to made a name for themselves through posts like that too? I don't know how the higher ups feel about that. If that was intentional, if whoever's their social media person just went on a whim and rolled.
I think their community manager was done by the end of the day. Whether it got them the attention they wanted or not, I don't know if that's
do we how... know also as well. I'm just saying that from an honest perspective. No, I didn't research. Was it? Do we
frankly,
know what happened to
you know,
that person?
I was doing research because I was just curious. You know, from both, this is somewhat that I somewhat do on my 9 to 5, and obviously sneakers and basketball. I was like, I'm all over this story, and sadly, I couldn't figure out whether there was an intern, a full time employee, and what happened to them. I hope not. I hope that I didn't get fired. Although, if they did, I mean, I can see also the reasons why that, you know, Adidas must have some sort of code of conduct, yada, 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 yada.
Yeah. The only reason I asked too is because that second follow-up tweet, did that from my burner account. Like, you would think if this person was getting in trouble, you know, they wouldn't send that as a follow-up or at least have some thought behind that. I mean, who knows?
Kudos to them for... just sticking to the shtick, right? Ooh. To the thing.
Yeah.
Because they were like, we messed it up, but like, hey, we're going to double down on this.
It honestly, to me, feels like a genius move. Like, you know how like when the first Air Jordans came out and, you know, there was this whole thing about the NBA fining them and Nike said, we'll pay every fine for you to wear that shoe or whatever the case that was. Genius marketing, right? Got people talking about the shoe, got people wanting the shoe. And now... I think, like, you know, with this new generation, this kind of feels like that a little bit, you know, just like a little opportunity here to fire back a little bit at a Nike athlete. And they did, and they doubled down on it. And, you know, we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Well, Go ahead, go ahead.
I would say, and if you're Adidas, right, like, you know, look at this, like, Anthony Edwards is, you know, the premier catch you want right now, like, as an athlete, like, when it comes to shoe deals and things like that as well, too. I mean, this is the future of the NBA, you know, one of the critical pieces, like, and when you have somebody else, whether it's tongue in cheek or not, kind of, like, downplaying the shoe, you can't just go quiet on that. I mean, this is your premier person. Like, you have to make some sort of a response.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you guys, are you brand loyal when it comes to sneakers? Do you shop around? I know we've talked about sneakers a few times, but, you know, this sort of, this whole controversy, I mean, controversy to a degree, but it got me thinking, everyone here knows that I'm pretty loyal to Nike. I like their products. I don't stick to just one shoe, but I rarely go outside. I've got some Mellows, some Pumas, and but for Adidas, it's been a long time. I think since T-Mac was around with them that I bought a shoe from Adidas, and I would actually buy Leanings, like the Way of Weights, first. Right now, there is not a shoe from Adidas that I go like, oh yes, I want that one. Maybe the Donovan Mitchells, the Dons, or the James Harden ones. I actually hate how they look. Mm. They look like house slippers. But that's just me again. But what about you guys? Do you usually stick to your brand, or do you don't care and just go with whatever you feel, you know, is right for you?
Yeah, Blake, you can go right ahead with that.
I think for me, it's interesting. Throughout my, like, you know, youth, I wasn't brand loyal. I just, you know, picked whatever shoe. I loved the athlete, right? You know, have the Iversons, the T-Max, the Jordans, et cetera. But that was more for, like, casual wear. But I would also wear those, you know, to play basketball in as well, too. But as I've gotten older, from true, like, what I play ball in, it's Nike. And I feel pretty brand loyal. I just like the way that the shoes hold up typically as well, too. And honestly, some of the Nike shoes that I wear to actually hoop in aren't maybe my favorite, even from a visit, just from a straight look standpoint, but I just like the way the shoe feels and how it performs, like, when I've tried it out as well too. But I will get some other ones every now and again, just for, like, to wear, you know, out and about casually. But I'm pretty loyal to it when it actually comes strictly playing ball to Nike right now.
Yeah. I actually think I agree with that. I'm right there with you guys. I had some Adidas growing up. I had the Garnet ones or something. Mm-hmm. And they were just a little too narrow for me. And ever since then, I thought all Adidas shoes, whenever I tried them on, were just a little too narrow for me. So performance-wise, I do really enjoy a Nike shoe. I've been hooping in Nikes for the last, I don't know, 10 years. But this season actually was the first time that I switched it up and got my first pair of Lukas.
I've seen them.
Yeah, and gotta say they were a bit tough to play with at first, but once they loosened up, I like the feel of them. And now that I've explored a little bit outside the Nike realm, I think I might, you know, try other brands out. Just purely on a performance thing, you know.
It's not that I want to call you out, Leo, because I don't. But, you know, Jordan, you know, saying like, oh, I explore out of Nike and I went with Jordan. It's like, oh, well, don't be so adventurous. Like, whoa, now.
Whoa.
You went to Jordan from Nikes. Holy.
And they are very different. You know, like,
absolutely.
What feels like a Nike athlete shoe? I don't think any of them do. They've got their own tech. They've got their own even foam. They've got their whole shtick that's, you know, their own thing. So it's a different brand, you know, and it's a different shoe.
That is true. I mean, technically, it's a different brand for sure.
Well, honestly, the next shoe I am looking at is the Kyries. You know what Anta is going to do with that? I feel like every Kyrie shoe I've ever played in has been 100%. An amazing shoe. And so for shiftier guards like myself, I feel like any Kyrie shoe from any brand will just be amazing. And I actually really do like the AE ones. Like, I'm thinking about maybe getting the Anthony Edwards. You know, they've got nice herringbone traction on the bottom, which I love. A lot of shoes don't have that anymore. I don't really know how I feel about the sock lining thing, but, like, I do like the look of them, and I do really like Anthony Edwards. So maybe you'll catch me hooping in a pair of Adidas sometime soon.
There we go.
If I have a shoe in my bucket list, sorry, Blake, very quickly. The Sabrina ones. I love how they look. I don't care how they perform. I just want to have a pair on my feet.
Yeah, the Sabrina ones are looking nice. They're good. They look like a Kyrie shoe. That's the thing.
That's the thing. It looks like a nice mid. Like I really, really want to get a pair. But they're sold out everywhere in Canada that I've seen.
U.S. It's hard to find too. Sometimes.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
I mean, you can still get, maybe not. I don't really know if it's as hard maybe in Canada right now, or I mean, compared to Canada, but a lot of times they are kind of sold out in some places I've been checking.
Yeah. I think it's really cool that we have a WNBA player selling out shoes that everybody is
definitely
there. And like, I definitely took a look at those and I'd be like, it'd be really cool to hoop in those, you know,
for sure.
They look like they'd be really great performers as well. So, yeah.
One last thing about the shoes. And that is the news that also came out today is my pick for most improved player who, God, I wish I could take that back. My man, Austin Reeves, he signed an extension for his signature shoe with a brand Rigorer out of China. But the important thing about this deal, well, it's the number of zeros. It's a seven-figure deal. But it also includes annual equity, which makes him basically a stakeholder, literally, of the brand.
Wow.
So, you know, there's been...
They're really riding the...
And there's definitely been brands, you know, like Li Ning that have sponsored athletes here and there, and Anta, and, you know, now Rigor that, you know, and Austin Reeves is, you know, their signature player, and they're really betting on him. So, you know, this just demonstrates a little bit of the diversity, I guess, that we have now as consumers. Having said that, because I was really curious about this whole thing with Adidas, et cetera, and I don't know how reliable this information is. This is from Statista.com, and I have it on my phone. But last year, and this is, I guess, published revenue from... Sorry, published sales in revenue from brands. And how far do you guys think that, or actually, which brand do you think went number one?
Nike. It's got Nike.
Yeah. Revenue.
Yeah. And then right after that?
I want to say Adidas, but maybe Puma.
Is Jordan considered separate from Nike?
Not on this report that I have.
Mm.
So it's not considered separate. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
is it a Chinese brand? Is it Li Ning?
No, it is. It is Adidas. It is Adidas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But here's the thing that impressed me the most. And again, this is from 2022. I don't know. The site didn't have any 23 numbers, but Adidas reported 13.1 billion sales.
Wow.
On, but do you want to guess how far Nike was?
I would say Nike. I mean, to be honest, like I would say at least double. To be honest, that.
Yeah.
Almost 29.1 billion sales.
Wow.
Crazy.
So, crazy. Yes. And, you know, what was surprising to me, and again, this is supposedly, allegedly worldwide sales. I don't know about that. I'll give you the breakdown. So it's Nike at number one, and then Adidas, then Skechers.
Oh, that's, cool.
Make a run. I don't know how. I don't know why. Then Puma, then Asics, then Converse, which makes me question this because Converse is technically part of Nike, and then Under Armour. But it doesn't have any other Chinese companies, which I don't know if those numbers are treated differently or what's it, or they just don't have them. But yeah, interesting stuff about, you know, the sneaker wars. I was thinking that Adidas was closing the gap, to be entirely honest, just out of the sheer number of athletes that they have signed recently, you know, Trae Young, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, now Anthony Edwards, but Nike's still sort of king, I suppose.
Yeah.
What? And this is just strictly shoe sales, correct? Like revenue?
Yes.
Okay. Does it say basketball shoes or just shoes as a whole?
It just says worldwide footwear sales of selected sports brand in 2022.
Okay. Right. Yeah, because in my mind, I'm just thinking, like, especially like you know, like Adidas as well, too, because I can certainly see your point, Rod. Like, you know, from like some other sports, right? Like when you kind of look at like Adidas, they're huge when it comes to like some soccer teams and branding and things like that as well, too. It's like getting cleats, you know, would definitely be, you know, something that would drive up sales from that too. Asics, you know, obviously from a running standpoint. So yeah, but interesting things. Yeah. I'd be curious to see if the Chinese companies go up in the future.
Yeah. I would love to hoop in a pair of Asics, honestly. I've seen a couple of pairs online floating around. They're hard to come by in Canada, but I have been trying to get my hands on a pair of Asic basketball shoes because they look really...
I just bought a pair of Asics. I don't know if they were meant for basketball, but they had a lot of basketball colors. They had like the Lakers and the Knicks. Anyways, I'll show you guys a photo later on our WhatsApp group. But they feel great. I don't know if I would take them out on the court. But yeah, and they're not, you're right, Leo, we don't have a whole lot of Asics here.
Yeah, but they do have like a basketball subdivision that's like maybe exclusively in Japan or something. And like, so they do make basketball shoes, which is like amazing. You know, I would love to get my hands on a pair of those.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Stephon Marbury. I don't know why we were talking about some of these things. I was thinking about the Marbury shoes in my mind.
The Starburys, like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why that popped up.
Stephon Marbury, Shaq, Patrick Ewing. Who else can I think that, you know, started their own shoes, their own shoe company?
Aaron Gordon's got a shoe out there, eh? Did you guys know that?
Aaron Gordon? I got to go back and look. I don't remember what it looks like, though.
Yeah. The AG1s, I think Chinese.
Spencer Dinwiddie also tried to, was it him that tried to launch his own brand as well?
Yeah. I think also Jamal Crawford had a shoe. Yeah.
Maybe that's for a trivia episode that, you know, we try to name all the athletes or NBA athletes that release their own shoe on their own.
Yeah. So Aaron Gordon signed with a company called 361 Degrees.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Yeah. And
the conclusion of this episode is Nike, you know, we're right here.
We are right here. I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
Send us a couple pairs of those Sabrinas.
Or Jordan, you know. We don't even want to be sponsored. Just send us a pair and, you know, a year. We'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
We'll do a performance review on them.
Yeah. Or even Asics, right? We've talked about the need to get more some Canadian publicity. We got two ambassadors right here in Canada in three with Tayo. I mean, let's get this going.
Yeah. You know,
the four of us, just let's make it happen. All right, fellas. Well, we have a bit of a shorter, actually, it's not that short. It ended up being a full episode for this week. But as always, make sure that you're following us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, and make sure that you follow us wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music, we're everywhere. Just make sure you follow us. Give us that 5-star rating, please, please, please. Make sure that, you know, if you want to catch up on episodes, go to our website, www.dropping-dimes.com. If you want to get a hold of us, contact at dropping-dimes.com or simply send us a DM on Instagram. We're going to put out a lot more reels. I see that, you know, the latest one that we did for Dime of the Week is doing pretty well. So I'm going to continue doing that. And we have a few more planned here. So until next week, where we finally go live on StreamYard. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace, love, basketball. Adios.